Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Shadmar Quits. We are your hosts for this weekend edition. Also your hosts throughout the week on our website and podcast, kereport.com or Corlin Economics Report with your podcast player. It was another kind of wild week in the markets. A lot of this volatility is driven generally by the ongoing conflict or war between Ukraine and Russia. That is causing waves in all kinds of markets, but we're not necessarily getting straight line directional plays, but overall risk off is moving higher. And that's where we're going to start with the precious metals market, as we are chatting with Jayant Bhandari, private investor and consultant to a lot of the big investors in the resource sector. Now, Jayant, the gold price, as we're talking, which is about halfway through the day on Wednesday, gold is above 1900, had a great day Tuesday, pulling back a little bit today, but overall we did see a monthly close just above 1900 at 1970 cents on the tail end of February. That was the Monday's close. Jayant, what's your takeaway from this uptrend that gold is in and the break above 1900? What do you take away from this environment?
Well, Corey, gold was doing reasonably well even before this Canadian truckers protest started, and even before the war between Ukraine and Russia started. Gold was in a consolidation mode. And then two things hit. One was that Canadian Prime Minister started freezing bank accounts of some people. And not only he had the authority to freeze those accounts himself, he delegated that authority to the individual managers in branch offices of banks. Now, that brought to the front a fear that people have had about electronic money, that your bank accounts, your electronic money could get frozen at any point of time. And they are facing consequences of not having thought about this thing properly, which meant that gold visibility had to go up. And then you see the same thing with not only to do with the fear to do with the war between Ukraine and Russia, but also within Russia, Apple Pay and other electronic payment systems and bank accounts have been largely frozen, which means that now people have to be more fearful about the electronic money. And gold becomes an extremely important way to bypass electronic money and have your at least some of your wealth in your own pocket. So gold has gone up only about 5% after these two events happened, which is not a very big deal considering that inflation has been very high in the U.S. So I think at 1900, gold is very well supported. And even if the war between Russia and Ukraine were to come to an end immediately, gold price is not going to fall much, if at all.
Well, Jayant, you raise a good point there about some of the risk to digital money. Although we've seen some of the cryptocurrencies still move higher in anticipation that if Russia is removed from the SWIFT banking system, that maybe some citizens would access cryptocurrencies. And there's that narrative. But I see your point about there also being the value of precious metals starting to shine a bit more. And in addition, before all this Ukraine geopolitical theater started, we already had, as you mentioned, the highest inflation in 40 years. Not just in the U.S., in many countries, and also the Fed rate hiking cycle about to kick off here in March. So do you think that at this point that the Fed rate hiking cycle, and if they do move forward with it in March or sometime soon, that actually could be a negative and a drag on gold because interest rates are rising? Or do you think it may be positive because in prior rate hiking cycles, we have seen the precious metals actually excel higher?
Well, I don't think the rate hike really makes any difference now. That rate hike, expected rate hike, is already priced in the gold market, from what I think. Moreover, oil price is going up, inflation is going up, and I think stagflation is going to hit the market, which means that they really don't have an opportunity to increase the rate too much. Now, if they increase rate a bit when inflation is much higher, it doesn't really make any difference anyway, because the real inflation, the real rate is still lower than what I would have expected. So I don't really give much credence to the rate hike right now, given that inflation is extremely high.
Hey, I understand what you're saying there, Giant. We have been very well warned for this rate hike. I do caution when you say that even if this war was to end tomorrow, that you don't see much or any pullback in the gold price, because you did say it did even contribute or has helped for about a 5% bump. We'll see what all happens there. And quite frankly, we don't know what will happen or even when that war will end or tensions ease. Let's move over into the stocks, though, because some of the majors, the royalty companies, the larger gold stocks, those have been running. Those have benefited from this higher gold price. The juniors still broadly have been left behind. However, this is kind of a general trend when you start to see at least bigger money coming into the sector. The retail audience still clearly more or less avoiding the sector. What do you like in these markets for gold stocks? Where do you find value out there?
Gold stocks have certainly done well over the last few weeks, and junior mining companies have lagged behind, as they usually tend to do in a situation like this. But I think that is where an opportunity is. There's a huge disconnect between the gold price and the prices of several of the junior mining companies. I think this is an opportunity for people to invest in some of these companies.
Well, Giant, with the majors having their share prices growing in value and basically their currency, their share price going up, and with the junior prices not having moved yet, do you think that may lead to some further M&A in the sector? And I know that we were talking off mic about one deal that just happened recently, but just as a general trend, do you think we may see more M&A because of that?
Oh, absolutely. This will create a domino effect. That is exactly how the development stage companies start to move up, and then the smaller exploration and generative companies start to move up, because you keep going down the value chain. Now, we were talking about Perseus Mining making a bid for Orca. Perseus is a good company. They have done very well in the past, and I think there is a decent upside in that company itself. Now they are acquiring Orca, and with that they will acquire Montage Gold, a company about which we have talked in the past. In my view, Montage is reasonably actually probably the cheapest gold stock I know of, despite that it has done very well since the merger between Orca and Perseus was announced. So my guess is that Perseus will go after Montage, given that they now will own about 31% of Montage. So mergers and acquisitions will pick up. Companies have to hurry up in terms of acquiring development at stage projects, and that will continue, although they have been happening. Such mergers have been already happening.
That is true, Giant. Mergers have been happening. Acquisitions have been happening in the sector. They started out actually at the top end with some of the larger companies merging, and now we are starting to see that trickle down to more of these development plays. Argument being, still, a lot of these development plays are undervalued compared to where the majors have gone, and quite frankly, some of the assets in the ground, while not all assets are created equal, they are broadly just not getting the value per ounce in the ground. Maybe that will all change. Fact of the matter is, we need some more investors coming into the space. Giant, for having me back on next segment. We'll keep talking stocks, keep talking metals. So everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Giant Pendari.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Are you ready to retire? Inflation is picking up, the markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. The stock market goes up and down is beyond your control. But you're at a point in your life where you can't afford to make big financial mistakes. I'm Al Abaroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Our investment strategy allows you to go up with the stock market, lock in your gains, and when the stock market goes down, your investment won't lose a dime. This works for your investments, savings at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and literally never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
Weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Giant Bhandari. Now, Giant, let's move down a little bit more to some of the juniors. Broadly, precious metals juniors have continued to lag. We're still seeing low volume and, quite frankly, not a whole lot of outperformance from any of the stocks, junior-wise. Are there any juniors that you see out there that are doing maybe better work than others and you think have the potential to garner some investment capital before the broad melt-up that I think a lot of investors, a lot of gold bugs are hoping for?
Yeah, so let's talk about another West African company, Nucor Gold. The ticker is NCAU, and it is still trading at 54 cents. I think they have done a fabulous job, and this company will get visibility over the next few weeks, and that's where I should be investing some more of my money. We can talk about another company, Corey, if you want. That is Aztec Minerals. The ticker is AZT, and it's trading at 31 cents. They came out with a fabulous drill hole this morning, 137 meters of 1.49 grams per ton. Now, the earlier hole that they had was about 1 grams per ton. Remember, when you hit something like 1.5 grams per ton, the economics is not just 50% higher. It is a multiple higher than what it was earlier. So these kind of holes completely change the economics of the projects. And that is why I think the news release to do with Aztec is very significant, but market has not paid attention to it. And I think that is exactly when I like to invest in companies.
So, Giant, with Aztec, I know the story well. I am a shareholder in full disclosure. They have two projects, both under JV agreements. Do you think that holds them back a little bit because of the JV aspect, even though that costs them less to drill these projects? And in all fairness, they have started to see some good results from both assets.
Yeah, I mean, JV does create some problems, but life is what it is. They still own, I think, 75% of both projects. Most of the value should reflect in their market capitalization. Eventually, I think ownership should revert to 100% for each project. The market might be concerned about it, but it doesn't really matter to me at the current share price. At the current share price, Aztec, in my view, is hugely undervalued, and I can worry about what this joint venture means once the market capitalization has gone up quite a bit up from where it is today.
So, Giant, that best hole that we have that was announced this morning on Wednesday was at that Cervantes project, the other project being the Tombstone project. Which one do you like better? Do you have a preference in terms of the recent news as to which one you think could drive the stock?
Well, clearly the Mexican project is going to drive up the stock right now, given that this hole is fabulous. I think the market should start paying attention to what this hole means over the next few days. So this is in the driver's seat for now.
Well, Giant, I may shift it back over to Nucor Gold. And in full disclosure, I'm a shareholder of Nucor Gold and Montage Gold. And I'm a fan of West Africa, and I've made a lot of money investing there in the last decade because of it being more of a contrarian area. But I see Nucor very much like Montage, where they have a lot of gold already defined in the ground. They've got really solid drill programs. They're expanding their resources. I have a lot of confidence in the management teams. But why is it, do you think that, I mean, besides the jurisdiction, I always scratch my head as to why both Montage and Nucor Gold are so undervalued. If you had those kind of resources in Canada or the U.S. or even in Australia, they'd be many multiples higher. Do you think there's something else that investors are looking for? Is it because they're bulk tonnage deposits? Is it because they're not high grade? Where do you think the value disconnect is?
Well, interestingly, if you compare the share price performance of Nucor Gold and Montage Gold, they have been very correlated over the last many, many months. Now, of course, Montage has outperformed over the last 1 week because of this announcement of merger between Orca and Perseus. And that is what I think will eventually happen to Nucor Gold. Market stays completely disinterested in some of these companies, and then suddenly someone recognizes the value of these companies, and then they go up in one abrupt step. And that is what happened with Montage Gold, and I think there will be another step up for Montage Gold. And I think that is when Nucor will go up. There will just be one nice step up someday. When that day will come, we don't know. But when, as long as there's an upside, I would rather be invested in companies like these than wait for the so-called opportunity time to come.
Well, just one more quick follow-up on both companies and companies like this that are development stage. Both of them are working on increasing their resources. And with Nucor, they've got a resource estimate that'll be coming out in tandem with an economic study. Same thing with Montage Gold. They're getting ready to release their feasibility study. Do you think companies that are development stage that are getting ready to put out a key economic study give them the ability to get re-rated? Do you think that's a good place for investors to look for value before it's obvious to analysts?
Absolutely. I think that will be the kind of companies that will perform the best going forward, because the mining companies have done well and now it's time for the development stage companies to be seen and appreciated by the market. So I think that this is where most of the growth should happen over the next few weeks.
So, Diane, to your point about Nucor and maybe some investors waking up to it, to me it sounds like they need kind of a big investor, maybe a strategic or somebody else to see the value there and, who knows, give them some more money in terms of a financing, although I know they're well cashed up, or just start buying in the market. Does that mean we need some more funds, some bigger players to come in?
Well, you don't know. As we were talking about Montage a few weeks back, you know, nothing happens and then suddenly something happens. And then when the share price goes up, it just becomes a lot easier for these companies to raise money for CapEx, for the capital. So as the share price performs, raising money becomes easier for these companies. And that can easily happen with Nucor as well. So I don't worry so much about how much money they have to raise right now, given that the upside is so nice with these some of these companies. I have to start worrying about their capabilities to raise cash when the share prices has performed quite well over the next few months or weeks, and then once they have gone up by, let's say, 50% or 100%, then I will start worrying about how they will raise cash.
Okay, Giant, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you for sharing some of your thoughts on the gold sector, but more importantly, on the stocks. If anybody wants more information on any of the stocks that we've mentioned, feel free to email us, fleck@kereport.com or chat@kereport.com. And hey, we'll get Giant back on in a few weeks to discuss more on the resource sector and also feel a little bit more on some of these stocks. Giant, thank you, as always, for your time. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Great. Thanks very much, Corey and Chad.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
In a news conference from Brussels, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said he believes the battle for Ukraine is far from over.
What we're seeing on the battlefield is Russian forces seeking to encircle the major cities, including Kyiv, and we're seeing them use increasingly brutal methods, including going at civilians and civilian populations. Terrible expectation is that the suffering we've already seen is likely to get worse before it gets better.
New data released by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention now show that COVID-19 levels have dropped significantly enough that more than 90% of people in the U.S. can go without masks. The new data, which shows that nearly everyone in the country lives in areas with low to medium risk for COVID, were released days after the agency released a new guidance that tweaked how it measures that risk. Hospitalizations have plummeted in every state over the last month. This is USA Radio News. A new pro-life law in Florida is ready for the governor's signature, and with that story, here's USA's Tim Berg.
Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis will sign a bill into law this summer that protects unborn babies after 15 weeks of pregnancy, that bans most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy.
These are protections for babies that have heartbeats, that can feel pain, and this is very, very late.
The gunman who killed his three daughters, a chaperone who was supervising his visit, and himself in a Northern California church this week was in the United States illegally. David Mora was armed with what is often called a ghost gun, which is an unregistered, homemade, semi-automatic rifle-style weapon. He had an illegal 30-round ammunition magazine, and 17 of the bullets were fired, according to the Sacramento County Sheriff's Department. Mora was under a restraining order that barred him from possessing the firearm or seeing his ex-wife, and authorities don't know how or when he obtained it. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Giant Bhandari. We did focus a lot on the precious metals sector. So in this segment, going to take a little step back, not ignore the precious metals, but talk more broadly, at least initially here, about commodities. Because broadly, commodities continue to scream higher, whether it's energy, base metals. They all are continuing to break higher. We are chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor of the Lion's Share website, which we will link to in the posting for this weekend show. Now, Dana, we usually start off by talking about markets, but as I said, I want to talk commodities because as much as some of our audience is encouraged by the moves in precious metals, you look at energy, you look at base metals, man, oh man, those are screaming higher. What's your takeaway from this environment here where commodities are clearly doing well?
My takeaway is I want to be long commodities because they're going higher. And it's not, I don't think it's any recent event. I don't think it's just the Fed. I don't think it's just Ukraine. Anyone that watches the charts and watches the data has seen, you know, the signs have been indicating that you should be long commodities in general for a while now. So we've been long, whether it's you know, energy complex, precious metals, the grains, whatever. We've been long a lot of that stuff and buying the dips for the last better part of the last year or year and a half or so, like we've talked about on your show several times over that period. And right now, I mean, there's nothing to indicate that that uptrend is over. So until proven otherwise, you know, we'll continue to ride it higher and buy the dips. You know, eventually it'll reverse and we'll be wrong. But for right now, we'll continue to buy the dips and, like I said, ride the trend higher and don't fight the trend.
Well, Dana, I know you don't do a lot of intermarket analysis where you look at, let's say, the commodities versus the general equities, other than just more as a high-level look at it. But a lot of people would have made the argument that commodities were very undervalued relative to the general equities markets, relative to real estate, relative to most other asset classes, and now they're having the re-rating that a lot of people were expecting. When you look across the basket of commodities, though, are there any that stand out to you as maybe having more upside than others? Like, is there still a ton of upside in oil and gas? Or do you think that there's certain soft commodities that may represent a better opportunity? Are there any that stick out to you?
Sure. I think the energy complex is getting a little bit long in the tooth. I mean, like I said, it's still clearly in an uptrend. No indications that I certainly wouldn't want to be shorting crude or most of the energy complex. But it's a little bit long in the tooth. The grains have really been in the near term going kind of parabolic, but they're more or less in the earlier innings of potential up move there. So in these parabolic rises, I would take some profits here and there. But in general, they might have more room to run. Like we've been talking about with the precious metals as well. You know, we had that big rally up to the 2020 peak, and since then it's been going sideways. And as we've talked about, I think that move over the last almost 2 years now is basically a consolidation pattern, just a period of resetting the momentum, resetting the sentiment, and gearing up for the next breakout and the next big up leg in the bull market in gold and silver and the miners. So I think if you're talking about the precious metals complex, I think there is a ton of room to run higher once we do finish up with this consolidation pattern, break out, and I think it's going to have plenty of room to run higher.
Okay, so this is more of a long-term play then. Dana, what else are you watching in these markets that you think has some upside? Because, again, it's been commodities. It's actually been the safe haven assets that have moved so strongly higher, like the dollar and also like bonds. What is catching your eye outside of just commodities then?
Right now, most things that I think are in a trading environment. So you're in this volatile period, correction period in the stock market. We made maybe a good intermediate term bottom. We had that initial low on some capitulatory type readings in January, retested that at the end of February, undercut it, and reversed higher in some of those indices, which is a textbook bottoming pattern. In addition, we saw in some of the internal measures, some of the sentiment measures, we saw a nice divergence versus that January low. One troubling thing is that we saw an expansion of new lows on the New York Stock Exchange. So it's not a perfect low. I wouldn't go out and bet the farm that that the correction is over, that we continue higher. But there are signs that maybe an intermediate term low is in and we could start moving higher. But it's going to be, you're going to have even if that's the case, there's plenty of resistance here to get through after breaking down on a lot of the charts below that some of those good technical levels. So it's not going to be a straight up shot. In fact, we have, I think right now, we've got a little bit of further room to go on the upside in the very near term in some of the equity indices before we get into some serious resistance. And I don't want to make any, you know, flippant war comparisons at this point, obviously. But that will be, like, the true battle will be at resistance levels a little bit higher. That should tell the tale of whether the bottom is in place. We should be able to break through and then start another uptrend in the intermediate term. If we fail at those levels, then we could be down testing the lows and actually putting in another leg lower, in fact. So it should be a very key test coming up shortly over the next week or so at those key levels, and we'll certainly be monitoring things very closely. But until then, you know, we've been trading a lot more than normal in these, in this type of correction environment, because you get that, like I said, you get that textbook pattern of the initial low, reflexive rebound, retest those lows, and then we're in that subsequent bounce. So we should find out, you know, pretty soon whether, you know, we're back in an intermediate term uptrend again, or maybe we get another leg lower.
Well, Dane, I know we're kind of at this tipping point where if things break up through those resistance levels, that would be bullish and people could play that momentum to the upside. But let's say you see things approach these resistance levels over the next week or two and they get smacked down pretty hard. Would you then turn to shorting those markets, anticipating a retest of the lows or even another leg lower as you laid out? Would you get more on the short side at that point if things fail at these resistance levels?
We will, we'll actually start adding some more aggressive hedges when we test those levels. We won't wait till, you know, till the smoke clears. We'll add some more hedges when we test them. If we break up through there, then we'll, stop ourselves out on those hedges, as, the benefit of that would clearly be back to the upside. If we do, you know, pull back from those, the resistance levels, we'll have, some good hedges on to play that. Whether we go back down, the next test will be whether we go back down to the lows, and if we do, then the odds are we actually go lower and put a new another down leg in on the indices and the markets. And there, I should say, there are some markets that actually certainly look more vulnerable than others within this corrective period. You talk about like Europe, a lot of the European indices look suspect. A lot of the growth areas still look suspect. The Nasdaq 100 made a nice low, but some of the areas within tech and growth still look a little bit suspect. So within that test, there might be areas that hold up better certainly than others. But we will start adding some shorts back on pretty aggressively as we test those resistance levels. And so we'll be ready. If we do pull back from those levels, we'll be protected. If we break through, like I mentioned, then the odds will be certainly be better that benefit of the doubt is back to the upside, and we'll be more comfortable being more aggressively long at that point.
Main takeaway here, at least for me over the last little bit, is just how much commodities have run. Those tie into so much other economic data, but it's also an environment where we haven't seen for a number of years commodities go on this sort of a run higher. And it's not just, I think, one reason, as you pointed out. Dana, great chatting with you as always. Thanks for taking time on this weekend show. We'll chat with you in another couple of weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamil that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamgaday.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamgaday.com. Teamgaday.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are chatting with Chris Ritchie, president of Silvercrest Metals. Silvercrest Metals is traded on the TSX under the symbol SIL and on the NYSE under the symbol SILV. Now, we're not going to be getting too much of an update here on Silvercrest, except more at the end of this interview, talking about some of the catalysts that Chris sees for the company. But I more want to talk about the general sector here. And Chris, you are at the BMO conference this week. This is a conference where a lot of the high-quality companies get invited to the conference, and there are a lot of big money banks there, a lot of big money investors. I find it's a good avenue and a good time to get an understanding of what the mood is for these banks, for some of the larger investors that could be in the sector, but also sometimes are just watching the sector from the sideline. Broad question to start here, Chris, is what is the general mood at BMO, and what are some of the major themes that have caught your eye?
Yeah, thanks. A lot of really interesting things going on there. One is that costs are going up. Agnico came out and they had a pretty significant cost increases across the board, nearing in the round of 20%. The multiples of the industry are still ridiculously cheap relative to other sectors. And one of the most interesting things I read was the Glencore presentation where the new CEO kind of got up and really highlighted this and saying all these EV companies, turbine companies, energy transition companies are trading at multiples that are just dramatically higher than where the commodity companies are, but they use all the commodities. And there's starting to be a little bit of pushback on we aren't going to grow unless we're rewarded for that growth, meaning a lot of these companies are trading at below replacement cost. So the cost to go find a new asset and getting up and running is higher than where the commodity prices are today. So a lot of them are just sort of saying, hey, we need to be rewarded for that growth, so we're not necessarily going to make those investments
Well, Chris, just speaking of replacement costs in the industry, we had talked a little bit off mic before we started recording about just what it takes mining companies, whether it's gold, silver, copper, to replace the ounces in the ground. Would you mind walking people through what the reality is for mining companies and where the industry needs to get?
Sure. I can speak to silver, more closely than others, but I'm sure it's a theme that cuts across the commodity base. But, you know, we did the exercise at Silvercrest to look at, you know, every single penny we've spent since day one, all the way through to the closure of the mine, including some cost inflation every year. And we're in the neighborhood of about $14 an ounce. You know, again, that's very different than our operating cost per ounce. And the reason it's a relevant number is, you know, today at $25 silver, for us, that's a lot of margin. No problem, you know, if we can replace that. But the idea of growth means, okay, well, what's the average project? Right? If I'm going to go sell my ounces at $25, what am I going to do with those dollars? And do I have enough opportunities in front of me to go get back more ounces cheaper than $25 an ounce? So our all-in sustaining cost in our feasibility study was sub $7. So even if that number trickles higher, and let's just say roughly $8, the industry average, and this is as per, you know, BMO or Scotia or RBC price deck for the senior producers, is over $18. So that means that's about $10 higher for our roughly $14 replacement cost, assuming an average project. So now your hurdle rate is about $24. Well, that doesn't include your exploration, okay? So again, who knows if you're going to spend money and not find ounces or the project actually gets you anywhere. It's a tricky number to get, but I wouldn't think it was surprising to have a replacement cost per ounce that could be $5 to $10. So even if you want to use the lower end of that range and you use five, well, now you're getting in the high 20s. What that doesn't include is, well, it's going to take you 10 plus years to get a new project with permitting and all those other challenges in there. Well, what's the cost inflation between now and then? And what's the impact to your operating costs? So you got to price that in. What's the G&A and your overhead? What's tax risk? What's execution risk? Right? So when you start to add it all up, you get a pretty clear picture for silver that the average project to go get something new up and running is higher than where silver is today. So as companies start to get cleaner balance sheets, and this is definitely the case for oil, so what we're seeing right now in the energy space is for the first time in a long time, these companies are really healthy. They have strong free cash flow. They have strong balance sheets. And what that basically means is they have choices. You know, and when you're choking on debt and you're barely paying bills, you have to sell your commodity no matter what. You're a price taker. But now these people can show some discipline. And, you know, if logic prevails, that means people are going to be a lot more careful how they allocate capital if the growth opportunities aren't there. So, again, it's going to be very interesting across all commodities to see if this means we're not going to grow until we're properly rewarded either via the multiples or in selling your commodity at a higher price than what it costs to replace it. So we'll see. The industry hasn't been overly disciplined in the past, but again, investors have been pushing back for a long time to be disciplined. So if this is the case, there could be a big shortage coming in a market that needs even more of these commodities going forward to make this green energy transition that everyone's pushing for.
So, Chris, big picture, are you saying here that the mining companies could, in a way, almost band together here and say, we're not going to keep producing these metals simply because you guys aren't buying our shares? You're not giving us the value for it, and everything's getting more expensive. So, quite frankly, we're going to take control of the narrative, we being the mining companies, and, in a way, completely disrupt supply?
Well, right now, you know, the world has a time span that is about as long as a tweet, and it takes about 20 years to bring a new mine online. So if you're sitting on big growth projects and you've got the expertise and the balance sheets while still having big, robust production profiles, the best thing you can do is just to produce and you know, do the right things by your money. Maybe that means buying back your stock with your capital as opposed to building projects, you know, increasing your dividends. So it's not about collusion or anything like that. It's just more saying we now have the flexibility to behave appropriately. And until you're rewarded for growth, doesn't make sense to grow. And again, this is really where the big picture long-term stuff really makes sense. Because again, North America, we're very short-term focused, you know, but yet we're dealing in a world right now with countries like China and whatnot that are dealing very long-term focused. And I think that sort of speaks to some of the geopolitical challenges we're having here, where commodities themselves are turning into currencies. And obviously we're seeing massive inflation with COVID and whatnot. So the world revolves around these commodity prices.
So then, Chris, who do you see coming in as buyers? Because you have laid out, I think, a very logical, I guess, balance of what we are seeing within the sector here and the mostly unloved nature that investors have taken towards mining companies. Are the big banks interested in either starting to buy up some sort of commodities themselves or actually putting their money behind mining companies, saying that, look, we do need these assets, and quite frankly, resources prices have gone up, so companies are stronger balance sheet-wise, really across the board, especially cash flow-wise?
Yeah, I think there's a few different players out there. I mean, if you're big governments around the world looking to buy up big strategic deposits of things that are nowhere near coming to cash flow and just sitting on them, you know, you might be producing some of these commodities, but they might never hit the market. They might just go into warehouses. So like supply and demand challenges. And the reality of the market, you know, mining is a tiny, tiny percentage. I think it's less than 1 or 2% in the broad U.S. indices. So the general market just doesn't care. And that's just the nature of where things are. So there's no new money. There's no new fund flow. You know, if you look at some of the momentum and quant fund behavior, we had a call with a brokerage fund last week that said, like, yeah, sure, short-term momentum is starting to pick up for the gold and silver space. It's kind of middle of the pack. But long-term momentum is still near the basement levels. So we really haven't seen the long-term momentum pick up to sort of wake up some of that institutional money or quant funds and retail. Like they're nowhere near this space. I mean, we're still at lower silver levels we were than Wall Street silver sort of rushed a year ago. And basically no retail. I mean, this came off one of the worst years in a long time for the gold and silver space when it was the second worst performing sector in the Canadian market. A huge tax loss selling. And this is just low volume, you know, gapping up on some of the macro and geopolitical stuff. So I don't think we've seen real buying yet, which kind of bodes well because as everyone knows, for cyclical businesses, these higher commodity prices are actually making the stocks cheaper.
All right, everybody listening on the radio, we are out of time for this final segment of the weekend show, but we are going to get even more into what it's going to take to drive silver higher and bring some more investors into the sector, as well as how Silvercrest is positioning itself in terms of being a producer by the end of this year. If you want to hear that full interview, please visit our website, kereport.com. Click on that weekend show posting. And everybody, thank you for tuning in. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend. And please visit our site during the week, kereport.com.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.